And now, for the thousands in attendance and the millions of people that wish they were sitting in front of my bar at the moment, welcome to the 13th episode of At The Bar With Yo Adrian, where I explore the lives and times of some really interesting people. And one of those interesting people happens to be Australian Jiu-Jitsu champion and rising star in that sport, Michael Galea. Good morning, Michael.
Thank you for having me. I'm good.
It's my pleasure, Mikey. Now, I know you don't drink. I've got a water here for you, mate, which is good. You're not drinking. I'm having a Glenlivet, 12 years. Beautiful drop, that is. See, if you've never had that for a drink, it is absolutely beautiful. One of the best Scotch whiskies I've ever had, by far. It's really, really nice. Anyway, let's get back into it, Michael, and let's explore the lives and times of Mikey, who I affectionately call Mikey. What other names you come under, mate?
I got a couple. Normally, people from my school call me Mick. That's my main one. Yeah, Mikey, Mickey G, but nah, there's a couple, but those are the main ones, so yeah.
Just move you. Yeah. Move in a little bit, mate.
Yeah.
You haven't had experience with the old microphone. Yeah, right in there, mate. Okay, let's start exploring the life of Mikey, as I affectionately call him, the Jiu-Jitsu Kid also. There's another name for you. So how did you get into Jiu-Jitsu, and what initially drew you into the sport?
Well, I got into it by, as a kid, I used to play footy, and to get better at footy for tackling, we both decided that jiu-jitsu is good for tackling. So we did that, I think started at age 8, 9, around there. And yeah, I was never a big kid, so footy started to die out. Wasn't that good, wasn't that talented enough. So I was good at jiu-jitsu though. I just liked it. It was naturally, I'm just good at it. So I stopped footy and yeah, started full-time jiu-jitsu and haven't stopped since. So yeah, it's a good decision.
Yeah, it certainly was. It's certainly been a very good decision for you. Now, what keeps you motivated and what is your favorite aspect of the Brazilian jiu-jitsu?
I keep training. I got a mate, Kai Grossman. Yeah, he pushes me a lot to train and we both push each other to be the best athletes we can. So he's a big inspiration for me. Also, Felipe, my coach from Alavanca, they helped me out. Just the team in general is a really good team. And what was the other question?
Like, what keeps you motivated?
Oh, yeah. Well, that was it, yeah. So what I just said.
And your favorite aspect?
Oh, yeah, favorite aspect. Probably the competitions. I just like the adrenaline rush it gives me. Also, just, yeah, just the adrenaline.
And you go into a lot of competitions, I notice.
Yeah.
Like, I know, because I drive you to all your competitions.
Yeah.
Actually, for those who don't know, I'm actually his father. So it's a bit strange, you know, interviewing your own son, but I think he deserves it. He's one of the rising stars, and I'll be actually interviewing two other rising stars after him. Very good at their sporting fields. One will be Benji Birchall in the boxing. At the age of 15 years old, he became a professional boxer. It's unbelievable. And we've got Josh Ballard from South Sydney, SG Ball Team, another great rising star. Now, we'll go on to the next question. Which team or coach are you currently working with?
Like I said previously, Alavanca. It's a small gym in Randwick, and yeah, pretty good gym.
What's the best thing about that gym?
Probably say, like, just the people there. They're all nice, welcoming, and even though it's not the most known, we have only one gym, not a lot of people, but we're always competing and we're always, I think, top 10 or at least top 5 in all the competition ranks. So, yeah, it's just a good gym with good people.
All right, we'll go back to the competition part of it. How many competitions have you been in and how do you stay motivated between those competitions?
I couldn't count how many competitions I've been in. I've been competing since I was like 8. I stopped doing it when I was around 10, 12, 13. It's a 3-year gap and I went back into it, so if I had to guess, I'd say at least 20 competition, not 15 maybe. I've had around 25 fights and I just stay motivated, like I said previously, just the people around me, just the support and yeah.
So they all around Sydney? Or
yeah, normally around Sydney, like mainly Blacktown, Cronulla, Sutherland, Redfern. A couple competitions, like the national one was at Melbourne. That was probably the furthest I've went for a comp. But other than that, yeah, just around Sydney.
All right, I want you to tell them a story when you went to Melbourne. Come on.
What story?
With a plane. And what motivated you to win that? And you actually, it motivated you enough for you to win the Australian title. So it's a great story, this one. You've got to listen to this story.
All right, so
right from the start.
All right. So basically, we're getting ready to go on the plane. We arrived to the airport, and basically, I think my mum had the tickets, and I forgot what happened. She mixed up something with the times, but she thought we had like an hour to spare. So we went to the airport, had something to eat, thinking I had like a nice cafe. And then we go to the airport trying to get into the flight, and they stopped us. So like, this plane's already aborted. Yeah, not enough time, you messed up. And my mum was just gutted. She was crying her eyes out. I just felt that bad because she felt guilty that I wasn't going to go. But
how was your old man? Was he blowing up?
No, not really. He was all right.
He's pretty calm.
Yeah, he was calm. He just said, we'll just drive there. So that's basically what we did. I think it was like 10, 11-hour drive. Yeah, it was not good, but at least we went there at the end and we fought and we won. So that's good.
That's true. It was a long drive and I was a little bit worried because you had to sit in the back of the car and you might have been a little bit squishy in the back of the car that maybe, I know, your limbs would have stiffened up. We were able to lay right down on that big vehicle, if you remember.
Yeah, it was big, but yeah, it was challenging. My body was sore and I had a couple kilos to cut, so it wasn't the best being in a car all day. So it worked out though at the end. So
it did, it worked out. How do you cope with anxiety before your competitions and do you get nervous before each of those bouts?
Each competition I go in, I'm probably the most nervous kid out there. I'm just in my head 24/7 thinking about all the bad things possibly that could happen, which I'm trying to fix, but that's a big struggle for me. But what I do is mostly I just put my headphones on, just kind of disconnect from everyone, just in my own like mind, and I just try to think like I'm the man, I'm this, I'm that, get in my head that I'm just gonna win, I'm too strong. And basically, yeah, I just talk myself up in my head, and yeah, that's what I do.
Now, can you become good at jiu-jitsu without going in and competing in those competitions? So just like, for instance, if you just turn up to your classes and you do your classes a couple of days a week instead of going in competitions?
I mean, yeah, of course you can, but competition is, of course, going to make yourself better. I think there's a saying like one competition is like 6 weeks worth of training, something like that. It just helps you with so much things. Like you fight different styles, like in the gym, you know who you're fighting all the time. You know it's the same style, so you get used to it. But in a competition, you don't know who you're fighting. There could be like 5 people, mostly in comps, that you've never fought. You don't know their styles, and it just helps you with your confidence as well. Helps you with, just everything. Competition will help you far more than not competing. But if you don't compete, it's still fine. You can still be better. But, of course, competition is going to make your game go to the next level.
Do you believe that jiu-jitsu can be used as a good self-defense tool if you need to defend yourself on the street?
Yeah, I'd say so. Some styles, like, no. But if you use jiu-jitsu in the right way, of course you can. It can help tremendously. So, yeah.
Okay, what's your favorite technique and position and why? Your favorite technique?
Technique, I'd probably say just triangle, submission. So that's mainly what I get in all my competitions. So that's my probably favourite, submission.
Does it correct when I say position? So a position would be?
Like mount. My favourite technique's a submission called the triangle. But my favourite position, it's tricky to say, but I'd probably have to say it changes. Like sometimes I might like mount, sometimes I might like back take, but right now, I'd probably say mount at the moment.
What are the most challenging aspects of jiu-jitsu for you and how do you overcome them?
Probably just the problem solving it takes. Like in, for example, like boxing. Boxing's like still a great sport, but it's kind of easy to learn. There's only a couple things you can do, like punches, blocks. Like anyone can learn it. It's hard to master though, don't get me wrong. But jiu-jitsu, it's like there's 1,001 techniques that you can learn, and it just...
He's just pissed off about half a dozen boxing trainers I know now. Please note, Dino, Birchie,
It's true. Like I said, there's in jiu-jitsu, there's like 1,000 techniques that you can learn, and there's different positions, different, just everything. There's so much you can learn. Like, there's black belts that have been doing it for 20 years longer, and they still don't know anything about it. So it's really hard to master. And yeah, that's the main thing, problem solving.
All right. So you know a little bit about your sport, and a lot of people don't realize that you actually teach it too, and you train others a couple of days a week.
Yeah, that's right, 3 times a week.
So how do you approach your teaching and your training? Training other kids. Are they kids and you train adults too?
No, so kids. So like the baby class kind of, like in Saturdays I teach like the real baby class. That's not really jiu-jitsu, it's just like kind of babysitting, but
yep.
It's baby class, so like 4 years old and maybe even younger, like 4-3. And then there's like a toddler class, so 4 to 6, and then like mid-range, like 6 to 10, and then the teenager class, so like 10 to like 14. So yeah. And how I train, I don't really, sometimes I coach the classes, but most of the time I'm just the assistant coach. So basically I'll just, what the main coach does, so he just tells them what to do, the techniques, and I, if they need any help or they need something for help, I'll just help him out.
Well, you don't have to tell me how much money you're getting for that little job, but pretty good coin.
Yeah.
Good pocket money.
Not too bad. I don't do it for the money though. I enjoy it.
Do it for the love of
it? Yeah, I was doing it for free for around like 6 months. So yeah, it's not really about the money.
That's good. Would you continue doing it when you leave school end of the year?
Yeah, of course. I'll probably, when I'm older, I'll probably end up having my own gym. So yeah, that's probably like, not the main goal, but that's like a side goal.
Now, Mikey, how are you going to finance that gym, mate?
With the money I earn.
You sure you're not going to hit your old man up for some cash?
No, I won't. I'll make it myself.
Now, what advice would you give to someone starting jiu-jitsu who is struggling, and what is the most common error you see with students?
Difficult question. I'd say... Well, what was the question again?
What advice would you give to someone starting jiu-jitsu? Right, and what is the most common error you see with students?
Okay, so advice, I would say just to never give up. There's many times in my like journey that I feel like I've had plateaus. So I'll just, maybe someone that I fight in the gym, they just all of a sudden start beating me, or I'm forgetting things, and I feel like I'm just fighting worse and I'm getting worse, but eventually you'll get over that hump and get better. So I just say never give up, and eventually it'll take a long time, but eventually you'll get better. It just takes time.
Now, what lessons from jiu-jitsu have you applied to other areas of your life, and how do you fit those regular training and teaching sessions in with your Year 12 studies, which you just touched on, and your study commitments?
I mean, that's pretty hard, but I try to balance it out. I mean, school is not my main like objective. I don't want to – yeah, that's not my main objective. I want to do jiu-jitsu and jiu-jitsu throughout. But you still have to balance it. So I'll do in school, instead of most kids mucking around, I'll just do the work properly. So I finish it all in school, and then I got time to train and stuff like that. So I just say no distractions, just constantly work and not be lazy. So yeah.
Well, I know a subject you're really, really trying, and that's Tippy's class. What's that class that... They're always winning awards in that one. What's that, PE?
Yeah, PE. No, that's a PE I'm just good at, because jiu-jitsu is a lot of stuff in jiu-jitsu that you do is also in PE, like the diet, a lot of diet studies you do, fitness. So, yeah, just good at it. And it's pretty easy as well, not too hard.
That's good. Moving now onto your MMA aspirations in the future. How far have you progressed in the other fighting disciplines such as boxing, kickboxing, and wrestling? MMA being, it's for people out there that don't know, mixed martial arts, because obviously he does his jiu-jitsu, but he's trying to learn other disciplines now because he does want to venture in the future into MMA.
Yep.
and obviously got aspirations, UFC contract down the track.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, as I said, how far have you progressed in those other fighting disciplines?
At the moment, I wouldn't say a whole ton because I want to master.
Well, let's look at boxing first. So, what do you do in your boxing to improve that?
Boxing, not a ton. I'll go Cronulla sometimes as a boxing gym there, maybe on Sundays. But I also box at my house, watch like YouTube tutorials and just punch the bag every Tuesday and Saturday. And I get Dad to hold the pads for me. But with boxing, I mean, of course I want to get better at it. But the main goal right now is to get to master jiu-jitsu and then add all the other ones in. So I have like a good foundation because all the good UFC fighters have something that they're specializing in, and mine's going to be jiu-jitsu. So yeah.
So what's the best thing you do in boxing? What do you think's your best skill? Mm. What's your point of difference to all the other boxers out there?
I'd probably say power. I got a good punch.
He's inherited that off his grandfather.
Yeah, I'd probably say, yeah, got a good punch. But other than that, I'd say I'm pretty technical. And yeah, I wouldn't give up in a boxing match. So yeah, that's what I say I'd have.
Now, how about the kickboxing side of things? Can you kick high?
Yeah, I can kick high, but I don't
What do you prefer to kick low and powerful?
I mean, yeah, low kicks, that's probably the way I'd go in an MMA fight. But yeah, I'll improve it, of course, but right now that's not the objective right now. So yeah.
And wrestling, obviously, wrestling's very, very similar to jiu-jitsu. It is a grappling technique. So how do you go in the wrestling?
Yeah, wrestling, I'm pretty good at. I'm trying to, like, learn it a bit right now. So, jiu-jitsu and wrestling are similar. They go hand-to-hand. So, yeah, my wrestling will improve. It's definitely not as good as my jiu-jitsu, but I'll improve it and I'll make it better. So, yeah.
So, what discipline, when you know you're in a good fight, so you're in a fight, think of this, right?
Yeah.
You're in a cage. Guys, you're up against this bloke. That's giving it back. He's throwing lefts and rights and he's kicking you and he knows a little bit of wrestling. What would you do to get the win? Would you rely on your jiu-jitsu, your boxing, or your kickboxing? Or you can add wrestling in there also.
I'd probably rely on, I mean, I rely on to mix them, but if I had to pick one, I'd probably say my jiu-jitsu because that's what I do. But I'll start with striking, of course, so box, he'll wrestle to probably take me down and then I'll just use my jiu-jitsu and end up winning the fight. So yeah.
So you're very confident, aren't you?
I have to be.
You need to be confident to be a fighter.
Yeah.
Need to have confidence. Now, what has inspired you to pursue a career in MMA?
Difficult question. I'll just say I've always enjoyed it since I watched as a kid the UFC. I think my first fight I watched was Anderson Silva and Forrest Griffin. That's what I remember, and ever since I watched that, I want to be there one day. So I plan to do that, and that's where I'll be in the next 10 years, or actually 5 to 10 years. So yeah.
Have any Australian UFC guys inspired you?
I'd probably say most recent welterweight called Jack Della Maddalena. He just fought Bilal for the welterweight championship, and he was a big underdog. No one expected him to win. Everyone was counting him out, which I feel like a lot of people do to me. And he proved and he won in dominant fashion, won every round. So, yeah, he's inspired me most recently.
Are you ever concerned about the amount of violence in that sport as compared to boxing and getting hurt and injured and potential of getting brain damage later on in your life?
Yeah, a lot of people.
Do you reckon it's more dangerous than boxing?
No, I don't.
Why is that?
So there's a difference. It might sound a bit violent, but it's true. So basically, in the UFC, just say someone gets knocked out, and then boom, they jump on them, hit him twice, three times, and that's it. They'll stop the fight. But in boxing, say someone gets dropped, then they get 8-10 seconds to recover. They get back up. They can cast, their brain's damaged, and then bang, they keep getting punched, they get knocked down, back up, keep punched. So you're going to get it repeatedly hit in the head. Other than UFC, you just get knocked out and hit a couple times and that's it. And there's many stories of boxers with CTE. UFC, there's not as much. So, yeah.
And rugby league too.
Yeah, rugby league's bad as well.
Yeah. A lot of people forget that CTE in rugby league, especially young kids, it's getting more prevalent now.
Yeah.
Now, we're going to have a bit of fun now. We've been talking about UFC guys. I want to know who wins out of these guys. No. They're up against each other. All right?
Yeah.
Let's check your knowledge. We'll test it out. Michael Chandler or Conor McGregor?
Conor McGregor, for sure.
Conor McGregor or Frankie Edgar?
Conor McGregor.
Conor McGregor or Dustin Poirier? We're talking about prime, eh?
I mean, they fought three times, but prime, Conor McGregor.
Conor McGregor. He loves the Irish. Conor McGregor or the Volk?
Oh. Prime?
Yep, prime.
It's 50-50, but I'll give it to Conor McGregor.
Conor McGregor.
But it's close, so I don't know.
Wow. Okay. Conor McGregor or Islam? He's got a hard name. Makachakov, isn't it? How do you say it?
Makachev.
Makachev.
Nah, Islam wins that for sure.
Islam?
Yeah.
For sure?
Yeah.
All right. Islam or Khabib?
Ooh. That's another close one. If I put my money on it, I'd... Khabib.
Khabib.
Yeah, decision.
So he's right up there with the best, eh?
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
All right, I'm now going to mention some well-known fighters in boxing and MMA, and I want you to describe them in one word, all right? Only one word.
All right.
Here we go. The Volk. UFC fighter, The Volk.
Great.
Alexander Volkanovski. Yeah?
Yeah.
Floyd Mayweather.
Go.
Israel Adesanya.
Stylish.
Mike Tyson.
Vicious.
Daniel Cormier.
High crotch.
There's two words here.
Wrestler, okay.
Alexander Usyk.
Undisputed.
Maxi Holloway.
Max Holloway. Warrior.
Ryan Garcia.
Speed.
John Jones.
Goat
again.
Yeah.
You're not dirty with him that he's not fighting Tom Aspinall now, are you?
A little bit, but it's fine. There's one that we're...
Who wins that fight, by the way, Michael?
Tom.
Tom, definitely?
Yeah. In their prime, I don't know, but...
Do you reckon Tom's beaten enough good fighters out there?
Yeah. I mean, he was the interim champion, and he defended his belt. And, I mean, John Jones is calling out an old DC, but he won't fight the interim champ. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, but look at all the guys that, you know, John Jones has fought.
Yeah, I'm not discrediting his career. It's a great career, but you can't say that. You can't hold the belt, but then not fight the number one contender. It's either you get stripped or you retire. You can't just hold it and waste someone's prime. So, yeah.
Okay. Jake Paul. Threw in Jake Paul.
He's smart. I say smart. Smart.
Yeah, I reckon he's smart. Very, very smart. He's made a lot of money being smart.
Yep.
Okay. Here's a final question for you, Mikey, and it's been a pleasure, and you've actually spoke very, very well on this podcast.
Thank you.
I thought you were going to be a bit shy, but you're not that shy at all. We've found that out.
Yeah.
If you have divine power to change anything about yourself, what would it be?
I'd probably...
Think about this question.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot I can change, but I would say confidence, self-confidence. I've struggled with that a lot, but yeah, that's the thing I really want to change, because you see all the greatest fighters, boxers, any sport, the one thing they all have in common is their confidence. And that's something, I have it, but it's not as good as I want it to be. So if I grow my confidence, then for sure I know I'll do good in life and my sport and just anything in general. So yeah.
So that means if Michael can change, which means I can change, which means you can change. So until my next podcast, treat people as you'd like to be treated yourself, but don't take any shit from anybody. Till next time, see you guys. I hope you enjoyed this podcast.